Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Lawrence Whitner, professor of history emeritus at the State University of New York at Albany, is an award-winning writer and political activist who taught for 43 years on college and university campuses in the U.S. and abroad. His latest book is the novel What's Going On at U Aardvark. It is an irreverent tale of how an increasingly corporatized modern American university becomes the site of a rambunctious rebellion that turns the nation's campus life upside down. Whitner says the book is funny, but takes on a serious issue in contemporary America, the corporate takeover of higher education. It's a great pleasure to welcome Lawrence Whitner back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate having you here.
Thank you very much, Joe.
A delight. What brought you to this particular subject?
Well, I'd written historical works, more than a dozen books, on serious subjects, but it occurred to me that I'd never written fiction in the past. And when I entered college many years ago, I wanted to be a writer, but a novelist at that time. And here was my chance. I'm retired now. I had some extra time. And I could reflect on many of the strange and at times bizarre incidents I had experienced or learned of during my 43 years of college and university teaching.
And if this book is any indication, there are a lot of characters and odd things that happen.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you know, characters as far as a, those guys are characters.
Right.
That kind of thing. And a little nutty.
Yes.
So, but as I indicated in the introduction, there is a point to all of this, which is as I assume was a starting base for you, where you said there was something about the corporatization of education that you wanted to address.
Yes, it seemed to me that we have in colleges and universities a glorious tradition of recounting the knowledge and wisdom of centuries in world civilization, and increasingly this has been debased by commercialization, by a rather a casual attitude toward education, an assumption that this is merely something students do before getting a job, if in fact they ever get jobs, or something that really doesn't matter. And students don't take this very seriously, at least many students don't. Faculty increasingly recognize that they're not taken very seriously. And instead, the whole purpose of the university becomes one of garnering money wherever it can. As state funding gets cut back and university presidents are reduced to being fundraisers. So rather than see the university increasingly slip into its role as just another Walmart, I decided to take on the subject, but do it in a humorous way.
And when you think about U Aardvark, how much of that comes from your experience at UAlbany, which I would think in many ways it's hard for us, certainly readers around here, not to draw the connections.
Well, there's certainly some connection, but nothing in the book is exactly what I've seen or experienced.
No.
And so obviously, the incidents that I place on the campus of this fictional U Aardvark are not things that happened or in some cases happened in that way at the university at Albany. I drew on my 43 years of teaching at a variety of different campuses, Vassar College, under the Fulbright program in Japan, at Hampton Institute in the South, and so on. But underlying that fictional account, I think, is a real story of what tends to go on, exaggerated only for satirical purposes.
So when you're traveling down Fuller Road, mm-hmm. and you if you're coming from Washington Avenue, and you see the University of Albany campus on your left and the CSNE campus on your right, those are two very different places with one masthead, if you will.
Right.
But I mean, that's sort of, but that doesn't that encapsulate what you're saying here?
Well, in certain ways, I think the nanotech center to which you're referring is a example of the university's increasingly business-like function and tone. I noticed the other day that the governor had appointed Alan Calieros, the head of that nanotech center, as a special advisor on education. And in his remarks, the governor mentioned that faculty are supposed to perform an entrepreneurial function. Yes, he said, they may not like that or they're not used to that, but they can be encouraged to do that. So in many ways, that's what's going on today. Faculty are increasingly the clerks in this giant supermarket, and the kind of education students get follows.
And I make that connection because that is where you are from. That is where your professor emeritus is SUNY Albany. So certainly that's the connection. But your point is much broader, that this is not happening just in Albany. This is happening on college campuses across the country.
Yes, absolutely. I wrote an article recently that focused on studies that had been done by the Chronicle of Higher Education, which showed that an increasing number of university presidents, including public university presidents, are earning millions of dollars every year in terms of their university posts. The highest earner among university presidents was a fellow named Spanier, who was the president at Penn State until he resigned in disgrace thanks to the child sexual assault scandal on that campus. But prior to his resignation in that final year, he earned $2.9 million. So increasingly, the administrators of major universities are becoming like big businessmen, overpaid bosses with an increasingly impoverished faculty.
So you have a Playboy University president, bizarre U.S. military commanders, poetry writing Hell's Angels, foul-mouthed decadent students, gun-toting Christian patriots, a schizophrenic FBI director, hypocritical politicians, a witch-like union leader. I mean, all of this is zany and yet ultimately believable.
Well, I'm glad you thought so.
but satire was always the goal.
Yes. My major problem was staying ahead of the curve when it came to bizarre situations. I often found I would create some kind of comic character, and then in the next day's news, I would find that my fictional writing was outdistanced by something that had just happened. So it was hard to
keep up with this.
Right. Reality was often trumping fiction.
So what does that mean? So let me first say the book is very entertaining and very funny, and gets you thinking about many different things, and I certainly want people to know that. But what is your? I mean, are you optimistic as you are now? You know, you're not actively teaching. Of you know what's going to happen.
Well, I think that we may see an even further trend toward corporatization of the university, just as we're seeing a trend toward a corporate take over, at least growing corporate control in U.S. life.
And I apologize for interrupting, but just to go back to what you were saying about Governor Cuomo's statements, I assume you now would not want to be an entrepreneurial professor.
No, absolutely not. I'd want to be a faculty member who transmitted the glories of civilization to students and helped to advance knowledge. I don't want to sell products.
And is in some ways, I mean, in some ways, we were always selling a product in the sense of this is a UAlbany student, this is a Duke student, this is a Colgate student, right? I mean, that's sort of, we were always doing that in some way, but it was about the education that the student got.
Yes, absolutely.
Not what the university was getting as a result of getting the students in.
Right, right. I certainly felt that I was assisting students, especially when I taught at a public university. I was assisting students who were not paying the same tuition, who often couldn't afford to pay the same tuition as students did at Ivy League colleges and other very expensive private schools. But I was assisting them to receive the same knowledge, the same kind of education that they would receive at those higher paid, higher powered institutions. And increasingly, I'm afraid, I think that public universities, particularly thanks to state funding cutbacks, are not providing that sort of education anymore, and they should be encouraged to do so.
So if I'm going back to an earlier question, which, again, I interrupted you in and I apologize, but so you don't sound overly optimistic.
Well, the book has a very optimistic ending.
Yes.
In which faculty and workers
the
and
takeover,
students
if you will.
Get together and they revolt against this kind of university, and they seek to restore university to what it was, or at least should be, namely a place that would transmit knowledge and extend the frontiers of knowledge. I don't know whether that's going to happen. It may happen. There are unions at many public universities that are resisting this trend. They're resisting it at the City University of New York. They're resisting it at SUNY. They're resisting it elsewhere. There are students who are resisting the ever higher tuition that's cutting them out of the opportunity for a higher education comparable to the education at many of the expensive private schools. And there's a public that I think is getting fed up with corporate control in American life. And hopefully those factors will combine to reform the situation.
The book is What's Going On at U Aardvark, and there's going to be a book launch party on Friday, the 24th of May. That's this Friday from 7 to 8:30 at the Bookhouse at Stuyvesant Plaza in Albany, New York. You can find out more information about that event by going to bhny.com, bhny.com. And again, the name of the book is What's Going On at U Aardvark, and it is the book party is Friday night at 7 o'clock. Lawrence Whitner, a great pleasure to have you back on the program. Thank you very much, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Great thrill. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.